I was in HR and recruiting for many years in the private sector, right, in the corporate world, and kind of climbed the ranks there and got really familiar with the whole hiring process from the employer's point of view. Watched a lot of people suffer, you know, watched a lot of people not do well in their jobs, in their, you know, challenges in their careers, and realized there's no real resource for the individual, right? So when I was about 33, I decided to walk away from corporate America. I did not love what I was doing. At that point, have you ever seen the movie Up in the Air by George Clooney? In it, he flies around the country and goes into companies and lays off lots of people, and that's his job. Mm-hmm. And that was essentially my job. I was going in and restructuring companies and laying people off. I got really good at it. Hated it, though. Didn't love that part of the job. Yeah. So I decided to take a year off to figure out what I wanted to do and went to look for resources. So what do you do when you're having a mid-career crisis? Didn't really find anything that was effective. And then I started to think about all the people that I had worked with over the years who also had this problem and thought, why aren't we creating something for people? So I decided to become a career coach. I decided to go back and use all my HR and knowledge to do that, and got certified and started a private practice. That was in 2001 to 2002. So I officially started 2002. Fast forward to 2008, 6 years later, I had written a book and had started to become a syndicated columnist. I still write that column today with a writing partner. And I found myself with more clients than I could handle. I couldn't take a vacation. And so I knew that there was something that needed to be done at scale. And if I was going to stay just a career coach, you can only help one person at a time that way. So that was really the foundation for the idea, which was, how do we create a way at scale to give people the tools they need to make smarter career decisions, to feel more empowered, to feel like they have the answers, a place to go after school, because you finish school and that's it. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to just figure your career out yourself, and that's just flawed. You know, every other aspect of our life, there's a professional that helps us. Financial planners, accountants, doctors, dentists, lawyers, personal trainers, everything. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, we think we're not supposed to get help with our career. So that was what we launched in 2008. We decided to launch a blog. Thought, well, what's the best way to do this? Blogging was getting hot and people could contribute. And that was the beginning. We started and said, well, we'll start with a blog and we'll see what comes out of it. By 2012, we had realized that we could create our first product. So we started messing around with this idea of virtual career coaching. How are we going to give people what they need? Because the thing about career coaching is it's very expensive. There's a reason only pro athletes and executives have private coaches. They're the only ones that can afford them. So if you can't afford a $250 session with a coach, what are you going to do? And that's when we really started to look at that model. So from 2012 till now, we've been just building different types of products and models and finding what works best with people. And now we've figured it out. And a lot of it's thanks to technology. I mean, we owe a big amount of thanks to social media and tools like Slack, communication tools, these things that have allowed us to drop the geographic and economic boundaries to great career coaching, right? So if you weren't wealthy and lived in a big city, how could you get access to this really great resource? You know, we're growing really, really fast, which is exciting. But what's more exciting is every day we come in and somebody announces, I just got my dream job. Our goal is to really not become a huge organization. It's much easier to run a company these days. I honestly believe this, that in this day and age, with the way technology and business is changing, being a large company is a disadvantage. It slows you down. You can't be agile. You can't switch gears. It's much better. Now, this year we'll grow. We'll have to add to staff, but like my ideal is less than 20. 10 would be perfect. For us, internships have always been one of the best ways to do that because I think we ease the person into it. There's a huge learning curve in our business. The first 6 months here, you're just learning what we're about. There's no school that's going to teach you what we do and how we do it. So you're not of any real value to us, if that makes sense. For the first 6 months, we're investing in you over those 6 months. So we find people that are very passionate about their skill set. So you have to, whatever we're hiring you to do, mm-hmm. we need to know you're very passionate about it. And then we now have to make sure that you get what we do and you care about it. So if you don't care about career and making sense of career, like if that's not exciting to you, you wouldn't want to work here. And so that's the part that we end up doing a lot of research on with the individual, kind of getting in time inside their psyche and saying, is this a passion of theirs or could it become one? I still remember getting a cryptic email from a woman at LinkedIn saying, if you'll sign a non-disclosure agreement, we would like to invite you to be a part of something that we're going to be launching. So you, of course you say yes, you want to know what they're doing. And it was for them to start this blogging. And they told me, well, we're having all these really famous people, but we do think we need career coaching too. So we're going to allow one career coach to write on the platform, and it can be you. So you're not famous, but you can, we need a little career coaching about it. It's like, oh, okay. And they said, and part of the deal is you're going to have to write twice a week. If you don't, you can't do it. And no, they didn't pay us nothing. It's just, but you have to write twice a week. So I did what they told me to do. That was it. Now, all the other famous people that they put on the platform were far too busy, and this wasn't relevant. So they didn't write like I did. Mm-hmm. But I wrote two times, sometimes three times a week, dutifully. And the strangest thing happened. People started to follow. And I went from being, when they started, I had the least amount of followers of all of the 160 original influencers, I think it was, something like that. But I just kept gaining followers. It was the strangest thing. And I met with them at one point. They're like, we don't get it. And so I don't either. And it was really funny because they started a group for the influencers to try to get more views. And people were so angry. They said, why are these posts that are written for like a sixth grader getting all of this attention? And the jabs were pointed at me, mm-hmm. because I believe you write in as many one syllable words as you can, that if you can explain it to a sixth grader, then it's more real. But all these people were writing in this really fancy, you know, language and speaking, nobody read it. So I remember saying, oh, I'm still going to keep doing what I'm doing because it's working. And I still, to this day, I don't write for them as much anymore. Now with as many followers as I have, I'm able to write on different platforms and put it in the feed and gain followers that way. Mm-hmm. I tell people, when people ask all the time, how to build a following anywhere, it is about consistency. You have got to produce content all the time. And you might think, oh, it's too much. You might think, I've talked about this already. You just have to keep doing it. There's always another angle. There's always another thing to talk about to get people thinking. And if you're the one that gets people thinking several times a week, then by association, they're going to remember you. And it's that simple. So I just tell people, find your voice and really get religious. Like you brush your teeth and work out. You just have to put that content out there. Like it or not, we live in an age now where there's just so much transparency. You have to be on social media. It's not a choice anymore. If you're not on social media, we say brand or be branded. By default, if you do not put yourself out there, you're saying there's nothing interesting about me. Maybe I've got something to hide. I'm not tech savvy. These are negative messages that you can't afford to share anymore. So you have to not only think about being on social media, but what you want that soundbite, that message to be. And that has to be consistent. The way you build a brand is by repeating the message. And so I challenge everyone at 10 to Watch to think about, what are you the go-to gal or go-to guy for? What is your specialty? What is your niche? What is your problem solving? What is that belief that you have, that stake in the ground? What defines you? Get super clear on that and start getting that message out there through social media consistently, because that will be your calling card. That's how people will go look you up, follow you, listen to you. And when they feel like they know you, engage with you. And every career is going to need that. Now, you just will not be able to get away from it. So embrace it now. And that's the exciting thing. I think when you're in your 20s and 30s, you can play with that brand. You can evolve that brand. You can get so good at how to use that. People that are later stage are just trying to figure out the technology, let alone what they want the brand voice to be. You know, you have this competitive advantage. But it will absolutely, when you think about 77 million millennials in the workplace, making up over half the workplace right now, you're going to be competing for jobs that you want later on. And it's going to come down to your brand, because employers are going to want to be able to see the blueprint. You know, who are you? What have you done? How are you different? I cannot stress that enough. We will really drive that home. You know, 10 to Watch is about accomplishments, right? These are people doing great things. But if there's not a way for people to learn about it and know about it and watch that person's progression, then it won't matter. So it's great to be recognized, but it's more important to keep putting your work and your value out there for the world to see. And it's not bragging. That's one thing I kind of want to drive home, is that people go, well, isn't it being narcissistic? They call this a narcissistic generation. No. When you are talking about your good work, when you are giving value, when you're explaining how you help others, that's not being narcissistic. That's you, again, marketing what you're capable of. So people have to get over that, because I had some people push back on that and say, oh, you know, I don't want to be like so-and-so. Well, you don't have to be like so-and-so, but you still have to find a way to build your brand voice. I tell people, when you're early on in your career, you're going to change careers an average of 9 times in your lifetime. That's just how it is. So don't get hung up on what should my first job be, because that's daunting. And you don't have enough experience or knowledge to know that, flat out. The better approach is to say, what companies do I admire? And not because they've got great benefits or you heard it's mm-hmm. a fun place to work. But when I look at what they do, I actually have an emotional reaction to it. I get excited. I go, yes, that's so cool, or that's important. Whatever that emotional connection is to what that company does, their product or service, you've had some life experience that taught you that. You can't have a feeling unless you've had an experience that shaped that feeling. So get at that. If you are obsessed with HubSpot here on the seacoast, why? Tell me the reaction that you have to their technology or whatever it is. That's the story you need to tell. Now go find somebody that works there and tell them that story. That's it. Just say, I so admire that you work there. This is why I think what your company does is amazing. And tell me what you think it takes to earn a job there someday. You're not asking them to help you get a job. You're asking them to share. I get what you do. I feel like a part of your tribe. So tell me what I have to do to earn a position there. People will give you those answers. And they'll oftentimes give you the introductions too. And then go get a job with a company that does something interesting to you. That should be your first step out of college. Don't get hung up on what the job title is. Don't even care what the work is, to be honest with you. Just go and see and experience that. Once you're in there for a little while, you'll just keep building.